Pastor Brady Martin preaches a gospel-centered message from the first chapter of the book of Ruth for this year's special Mother's Day message.
Well, I want to say happy Mother's Day again. We are so thankful here at Temple for the mothers in our church. And so I just want to say thank you to all the mothers. We're so glad you're here today. And so this morning, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing something a little bit different. I'm beginning a four-year series through the book of Ruth where we look at one sermon, one chapter of the book each Mother's Day for the next 4 years. All right, so not 4 years continuously. So this year we'll be looking at Ruth chapter 1. In 2019 we'll be looking at Ruth chapter 2. And 2020 we'll be looking at Ruth chapter 3, 2021, Ruth chapter 4. But only on Mother's Day, all right? So only on Mother's Day. So the fourth Mother's Day in by 2021, we will have completed Ruth, okay? So y'all have to hang with me for this. And so so if you visit in, you can have your own sermon series. If you only come on Mother's Day, in 4 years, we'll get through this. So today we'll be in Ruth chapter 1, Ruth chapter 1. And so I believe that this book of the Bible, Ruth, has a lot to say to us on Mother's Day. And so I want to see what the Lord has to say to us in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, this Mother's Day. And here's our big idea that I want us to see this morning. That God uses broken people to bring about incredible things for our good and His glory. God uses broken people to bring about incredible things for our good and His glory. God uses broken people to bring about incredible things for our good and His glory. You know, there are only two books of the Bible named after women. Ruth. Anybody got the other one? Esther. All right. We don't know who wrote the book of Ruth. Perhaps many scholars think it's Samuel. But this little book plays an important part in the history of redemption. It was written during the time of King David's reign, about 1000 BC. It's a story of a woman named Ruth, whose name means friendship. It's a beautiful illustration of God's redeeming grace. The book is named Ruth because she's the star of the book. But the surprising thing about Ruth is that she is not an Israelite. Half of the books about women in the Old Testament, titled for women, are not even from Israel. She's from Moab. She's from Moab. She's not a Jew. She's a Moabite. But yet she is the star of this book. You got to understand a little bit about Moab. Moab is east of Israel across the Dead Sea. It's in a barren desert area. You see, Moab was a people who had been cursed by God. And typically desert areas are signs that you've been cursed. But they weren't cursed because of their race. They were cursed because they were an idolatrous nation who had rebelled against God. They had rejected the true and living God. They were an idolatrous nation, but they had been that way from the start, and they had been an enemy of Israel ever since their beginning, and they had been this people that Israel had been waging war with for hundreds of years. But you know, Moab had a crazy start. In Genesis 19, we see the beginning of Moab, where Lot, you remember Lot, Abraham's brother who was spared from Sodom and Gomorrah, he and his daughters are rescued, and after they're rescued in Genesis 19, this is the part of the Bible they don't typically teach in kids' church. What happens is in Genesis 19, Lot and his two daughters go hide out in a cave, and what happens is Lot and his daughters engage in an incestuous relationship, and his oldest daughter gets pregnant, and you know what they name the baby? Moab. And Genesis 19:37 says, and he is the father of the Moabites to this day. It began with an act of rebellion, and the nation of Moab had been rebelling ever since. You know, in our country, we love to tell how our country got started, right? As Hamilton says, we're young, scrappy, and hungry. And so we see, we love to tell the story of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, getting together there in those places in Boston, ready to start the revolution. Just as I say that, your patriotism is rising at the names of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. We love to tell the story of our beginnings. I'm not so sure it was the case in Moab. Hey, you remember when Lot went to that cave? I'm not sure that that was exactly the same thing for them. They were not necessarily starting with the greatest of beginnings because they had begun in rebellion against God and had been under a curse ever since. If you want to read more about the curse against the Moabites, you can read it in Jeremiah 48, Isaiah 15 and 16. And this is important. This curse is important because we pick up our story of Ruth as someone who has been born under the curse. She was not just a foreigner. She was an enemy of God. And we pick up our story in Ruth chapter 1 in the midst of tragedy. In the midst of tragedy. Let's turn to Ruth 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, this means after Israel entered the promised land, but before Saul became king, there was a famine in the land, so they were hungry, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, not Oprah, Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. What a tragic story. This family of four without food goes to find food in a foreign land. And when they get there, the father dies. Naomi's two sons marry two women from Moab. And then 10 years later, both sons die. We don't know what happened to them, but it seems to be tragic. Now this family of four, with so much promise, is now down to just three widows, a woman in a foreign land and two young widowed women. Verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. She had heard that God had blessed Israel once again with food, and now she believed it was time to go home. And I want us to notice three things in this story this morning that I think are important for us to think through this Mother's Day. So three things I want us to notice in this story that we need to think through this Mother's Day. So they go to Moab to try to find food, this people who are cursed by God. They go there, and when they get there, the father of the family dies. The two sons marry these two women, Orpah and Ruth, and then the two sons die. And now Naomi and these two young women are there in Moab, and she hears in Israel there's food there again. There's food there again, and she believes it's time to go home. So we're going to learn three things this morning from what's going to happen next. The first thing I want you to notice this morning is the faithfulness of Naomi. The faithfulness of Naomi. Let's look at it in verse 7. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, no, we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters, why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Ruth clung to her. She wouldn't go back. Why? Why would this person who was under the curse of God, who grew up as a Moabite, an enemy of God's people, why would she refuse to go back home? Well, it's because she has seen something in her husband, and particularly in her mother-in-law, Naomi, that was different. You see, when Naomi came to Moab, she didn't just bring her husband, she didn't just bring her two sons, she brought her faith with her. She brought her faith with her to Moab. What she is saying is this: Ruth will not go back to Moab because she has seen something different in Naomi that she had not seen in all of the women of Moab. Ruth can tell there is something different about her. For these 10 years, she watched the way Ruth had lived her life. She listened to the way she had talked about God. She watched her go through the loss of her husband, but did not abandon her God, but trusted him even more. And then she watched him lose one son and still believe and still trust in God. And then she had watched her lose another son. And Naomi still had faith in Yahweh, the God of Israel. And she had been watching. She had been watching the way she had gone through this suffering. And she noticed something was different in her than the women of Moab. Isn't it amazing the impact that the women in our lives can make upon us? Because God uses broken people to bring about incredible things for our good and his glory. And he was using Naomi this way, this broken woman, to impact Ruth. Naomi wasn't perfect, but she was faithful. She wasn't perfect, but she was faithful. But maybe the most important thing Naomi did was she passed on her faith to Ruth. I wonder this morning, what women has God used in your life for his good, for your good and his glory? Who did you receive your faith from? Obviously, we receive our faith from heaven, from God. But who on this earth did God use to bring faith to you? Was it a mom? Was it a grandma? A Sunday school teacher? Who was it that God used to bring faith to you? An aunt? Friend, who was it? For Ruth, it was Naomi. It was Naomi. But sometimes the Lord uses people just like Naomi in our lives. And often, just like Naomi, they bless us and love us and care for us and pass their faith on to us while they are going through unspeakable suffering. Looking back, we might not know how hard it was on our mom to love us during those moments. We didn't count her suffering as we were growing up, or our grandmother's suffering as she had lost her husband. But Naomi had gone through the loss of a husband and two children, and in that suffering, she put on the faith on display to Ruth in such a powerful way that Ruth is ready to leave everything she's ever known. Naomi was not perfect, but she was faithful. And I wonder this morning who God placed in your life that you need to be thankful for. Do you have someone who was like Naomi to you? Do you have someone in your life that this morning, right now, you need to offer a small prayer to God in your heart, in the silence of your heart right now? You need to say, thank God for my mom. Thank God for my grandma, for my aunt. Whoever it is, do you need to give thanks this morning for them? Because God has gifted us, and it's not enough just to be thankful. You see, our world is good at being thankful generically, but as Christians, we're not thankful generically. We are thankful to God for our moms and grandmas. We're thankful to a person. We don't just have a feeling of gratitude, but we're thankful that he's blessed us with them. And so I ask you this morning, who do you need to give thanks for? Who are the Naomis in your life? But maybe right now you are Naomi. You are playing the role of Naomi in someone's life. God has strategically placed you in someone's life to be Naomi to them. He wants you to pass on your faith to them. He wants you to be an example in how you live and how you speak about God, that they might learn what it looks like to follow him. Sometimes I'm afraid people don't take the opportunities to influence others that they have simply because their eyes are not open. God has placed people in your life strategically that you might love them and care for them and pass your faith on to them. So let me just ask you a couple of questions. What Naomis has God placed in your life that you should be thankful for? The great women of faith who've loved you, taught you, and passed their faith along to you. And what Ruths has he placed in your life that you need to invest in during this season of life? And then we pick up our story. So Orpah, she goes back to Moab. You can totally understand it. It's all she's ever known. But not Ruth. She will not go back. And so we see the faithfulness of Naomi. But the second thing we need to see this Mother's Day is the devotion of Ruth. The devotion of Ruth. Verse 15. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people, they shall be my people. And your God, my God." What a pledge. She is saying, "I am willing to leave everything I have ever known to go with you, Naomi. Your example of faith has been so powerful to me that I cannot return to my old ways, to the old gods of Moab, to my old lifestyle. I can't return to my people, so therefore your people, those who were always my enemies, will now be my people. The people of Israel, those who I heard about growing up, that they were the enemy, and those were the people who were wrong with the world, they will be my people. And your God, the one you have told me about, the one you have put on display to me through your actions and your words, he will be my God." You see, Naomi's faith had become Ruth's faith. Naomi's God had become Ruth's God. And on this Mother's Day, I feel like I have to say this. It's a little hard, but I have to say it. Your mama's faith can't save you. Say it one more time. Your mama's faith can't save you. There are many people who attend worship with their moms on Mother's Day to honor their moms, but do not worship Christ when they come. And they'll come back next year to honor Christ or to honor their moms, but not to worship Christ. You see, what's happened is they love their mom, but their faith has never been taken for themselves. You see, faith cannot be inherited. It must be personally embraced. So right now, I just want to ask you, maybe you're here with your mom today and you're honoring her, and I want to say thank you for that. That is awesome. I'm so glad you're here to do that. But more importantly, I want to ask you this. Has her faith become your faith? Has her God become your God? Because this Mother's Day, that's really the most important question. Has her faith become your faith? Has her God become your God? Because in the kingdom of God, you've heard me say this before, in the kingdom of God, God does not have spiritual grandchildren. You don't get counted in because your parents believe. You must personally believe yourself. Students, have you trusted in Christ for yourself, or are you banking on your parents' faithfulness? Because every person is judged on their own faith, not on the faith of their parents. And so I want to encourage you, if you have come this morning and you wanted to honor your mom, I want to tell you something far more important is that you this morning can receive Christ. But I want to tell you, it's no small decision. It will actually change everything for you. Listen to what Ruth said. In verse 17, "Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." Choosing to follow God is not a small decision. It will change the entire direction of your life. Ruth knew this. So what she's saying, my future, my life, and even my death is in the hands of the God of Israel. Wow. This one who she grew up despising, she's now willing to put her life and death in his hands. Verse 18. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Has the faith of your mother and grandmother become your faith this morning? It's not enough for your faith to be inherited. It must be embraced personally. So we've noticed the faithfulness of Naomi, the devotion of Ruth. And thirdly this morning, the thing we have to notice this Mother's Day is the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. Verse 19. So the two of them went on until they came. So they leave Moab and they come back on until they came to where? Bethlehem. This is dripping with gospel foreshadowing for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? I mean, it's been years since they've seen her. She left with her family. Remember, she had this husband and she had these children and they went to Moab and now she comes back with no husband and no sons and only this young widow woman from Moab, she brought one of the enemy back. Verse 20, she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. So what's going on here? Naomi left home with his husband and two sons. Now she comes home a widow. Her name Naomi means pleasantness. But she's saying, my life has been anything but pleasant. So don't call me pleasant anymore. Call me Mara, which means bitterness. She comes back without hope and in despair. Maybe this Mother's Day you can identify with Naomi. Maybe this Mother's Day you can identify with Naomi. You've lost a husband, a child, a parent, and this Mother's Day you are filled with despair and bitterness. You, like Naomi, come this morning broken as you sit here. But I want you to know that God is at work in Naomi's brokenness, and he's at work in yours too. You see, Naomi could not zoom out and see what God was doing in her and through her. She felt forgotten. She felt that God had abandoned her. She felt that her story was over. But why do we have this seemingly random story of this woman and her Moabite daughter-in-law in the scriptures? Why is there a whole book of the Bible about their story? Because God was doing something bigger in their suffering than she could see. God was doing something bigger in her suffering than she could see. And this morning, if you are suffering, I want you to know God is doing something bigger in your suffering than you can see too. So over the next few chapters, not to spoil the next 3 years of sermons, but over the next few chapters, we will see God is going to use Ruth in an incredible way. The one who was under the curse, Ruth, she's going to be redeemed from that curse. Her price is going to be paid by a man from Bethlehem named Boaz, who had a special heart for women just like her. Women who were foreigners and those who were outside the promise. Why did Boaz, this man who would ultimately pay her price, why did he have a special heart for people like that? Because his grandma was a lady named Rahab. And Rahab was this woman who, when the people of God came into the promised land and it was filled with all the enemies of God, and she was a part of the enemies of God, she saved Israel by taking the spies in. You remember that story? And she saved them. And Rahab began to say, she said to them, your God will be my God, and I will become a follower of Yahweh of Israel. And so that story had been passed down to this man named Boaz, who had a heart for people just like that. And he goes and he redeems Ruth. He pays the price for her. And he even takes Ruth to be his bride. This man from Bethlehem would take one who's under the curse of God to be his bride? A man from Bethlehem taking someone who's under a curse to be his bride? This should be like a bomb going off on your heart about another man who would do that one day. But God's not done with him yet. You might say, this is a great story, but why did it end up in the Bible? It's a great story about Ruth and Naomi, but why is it in the Bible? Well, let's turn to chapter 4. And let's read the conclusion of the story. Chapter 4, verse 13. Ruth 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not only left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. Naomi took her grandchild in her arms. Now we realize it's not really her grandchild, not biologically. But we see here even the women recognize this is her grandchild. And she takes the grandchild in her arms, and I can't say for sure, but I imagine that she held that baby for the first time. Ruth handed it and said, Naomi, take her. And Naomi takes her. And as Naomi is holding that baby, I can't help but think that everything that she has suffered is flashing before her eyes. And her eyes begin to tear up as she remembers her husband as they went into Moab to find food. She remembers her sons and their wedding day. She remembers all that's come and all the suffering that's happened. And I don't know about you, but one of the things about when you suffer and lose a loss, you lose a loved one, one of the things that can be strangely comforting is holding the life of a newborn in the family. And she's holding that newborn baby. And as she holds that newborn baby, I'm sure she begins to tear up because she realizes God is not done with my family yet. Oh, it looked bad when my husband died. It looked worse when my first son died. And when my second son died, it looked even worse. And now I sit here in Bethlehem and I hold this baby boy as a sign of hope. But the thing is, this baby's not just any baby. Think, well, that's great, but why in the world do we have this story in the Bible? Because this baby's not just any baby. God had great plans. God had great plans for this family. One she could not see in her brokenness and in her suffering. They named this baby Obed. And he was the father of Jesse. The father of David. This baby that she would hold in her arms was named Obed. You know where he'd grow up? He'd grow up in this little town called Bethlehem. And Obed would have a son named Jesse and grow up in this little town named Bethlehem. And Jesse would have a son who'd grow up in this little town called Bethlehem named David, who would be the greatest king in Israel. She couldn't see it in her suffering. But God was not done with her yet. Because God uses broken people to bring about incredible things for our good and his glory. And if you this morning feel like Naomi, filled with more suffering than you know what to do with, and you have more brokenness and hopelessness this morning, I want you to know that God is not done with you yet. But that's not the last time Ruth's mentioned in the Bible. She actually shows up on the first page of the New Testament in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. We are given a genealogy, and we see that Ruth is one, this person who is born under the curse, the former enemy of God, the foreigner, the stranger to the promise, is listed. Verse 5. And Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David, the king. So in some years later, Ruth had been brought out of the curse, had gone from being a stranger to the covenant and without hope in this world to being the great-grandmother of the king of Israel. She had been an enemy of God. Now her great-grandson was slaying the greatest enemy that they had ever seen in Goliath. But if that's not enough, in 1,000 years, another one of Ruth's descendants would be born. Sure enough, this little small town called Bethlehem. He would grow up with a mission to love women just like Boaz had. Women who were like Rahab, who were outside. Women like Ruth, who were outside the covenant. Those strangers and foreigners. Those who were like you and like me. This descendant of Ruth, his name is Jesus. And he was born in Bethlehem. He would live a perfect life. He would die in our place. And on the third day, he would rise again, forever triumphant over death, hell, and sin forever. Why? That he might bring you back into the promised land, paying the full price for your redemption, that you might say that his people might become your people, and that he might become your God. Naomi could not see all that God was doing in her life. And I bet if you would have told her that day when she walked back into Bethlehem, when she came as a widow with her Moabite daughter-in-law, she would have had a hard time believing that her great-grandson would be the greatest king of Israel. I think she would have had a hard time believing that, but I almost guarantee you that she would have had an even harder time believing that her great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson would not just be king of Israel, but king of the entire universe. Naomi couldn't see what God was doing in her suffering, but we can. God was working our good for in his glory. You see, sometimes it's hard to believe that God's at work in our life, and especially in our suffering. But our stories are always about something bigger than just us. So this Mother's Day, let us give thanks for the Naomis in our lives. Those who have loved us and passed their faith on to us. Those grandmas and those moms, those aunts, and those great women who, mother-in-laws, those great women who have blessed us. Let us be thankful for those like Naomi in our lives. But let's have the devotion of Ruth, personally taking hold of the promise for ourselves, where it's our faith. And let's remember the sovereignty of God in our families. Let yourself dream this morning of what God might do in your family and your children. And your grandchildren, your nieces, and nephews. Naomi couldn't see all that God had planned, but he had incredible plans for her family. Let yourself dream this morning. What might God do in my son, my daughter? Though they may seem very far away right now, and it seems hopeless, just like Naomi's situation, but I want to tell you, our God loves to bring good things out of hopeless situations. There's an empty tomb in Israel to prove it. So let yourself dream this morning, because God loves to use broken people to bring about incredible things for our good and his glory. And this Mother's Day, that's good news that every one of us needs to hear, not just moms. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, my heart is especially thoughtful of those who might be suffering today, those who might be hurting. Father, let them know that in their hurt, you have not abandoned them. Though they cannot see the end of the story, that does not mean that you are not present and you are not writing every chapter along the way. Father, for those this morning who have people who have been like Naomi to us, moms and grandmas, mother-in-laws, aunts, I want to especially thank you for them. I want to thank you for all of those women in our lives who have blessed us. And Father, I pray specifically for those who sit here this morning who came because they wanted to honor their moms, but they've never really taken the faith of their mom. I pray this morning that even today will be the day they embrace their mother's faith. And they say, your God will be my God, your faith will be my faith, and your people will be my people. Father, we pray for supernatural work. And Father, I pray for those moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas who this morning need to be rejuvenated and encouraged to have a vision for their families flourishing for generations. Father, you can turn beautiful things out of horrible messes. And so, Father, we pray that our families will be turned into beautiful stories like this one, stories of redeeming grace. And Father, we are so thankful that in our suffering, you are not done with us yet. Father, use us, broken people, this morning. Use us to do incredible things for others' good and for your glory. Father, you have brought us out of the curse, and you have given us hope in a future. Let us embrace that this morning. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. We stand and sing. However the Lord leads this morning, step out in faith.
This concludes a message of Temple Baptist Church. To find out more about Temple, visit our website at tbcgainesville.org.